of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Bad Enough. Take it one game at a time.
Tonight's story on the Obscure Disney Podcast is somewhat unique and recalls for a different kind of introduction. This, as you may recognize, is a maintenance service elevator, still in operation, waiting for you. We invite you, if you dare, to step aboard, because tonight you are the star, and this elevator travels directly to the Twilight Zone.
Legitimately, the scariest Disney words ever.
Hey everybody, I'm Ryan.
What a way to finish off the Halloween season, right? Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween!
I'm Steven.
We are ramping up to finish off October with a bang.
Right.
Or a scream.
more of a scream than a bang, I'm hoping, because if you get a bang on the Tower of Terror, you're pretty much screwed at that point.
You'd be screaming for reals.
Yeah, right? Oh, I do scream for real, don't you?
Oh, you 100% scream for reals.
But as we've talked about before, for a couple reasons, this is by far the scariest thing on Disney property, is the Tower of Terror.
Well, and a lot of it, I think, comes from the theming. They really get you ramped up. If you are willing to be quiet and watch and listen to everything, they really build the suspense for you there.
Yeah.
I think it's harder, you know, a lot of people are on their phones or talking or whatever, but if you're just kind of standing and being quiet, I think you really do get the full effect of the Tower of Terror.
There's something about the way that they theme all of it. It makes people put away their phones and quiet and listen in. And, you know, I feel like the conversation is quite a bit lower mm-hmm. over there and a little bit more ominous before ever even approaching the tower.
Yeah.
So regardless of what park you're going to see it in, because it's in so many different Disney parks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of that comes from when you walk, especially when you walk into the hotel.
Yeah.
There's so much heavy theming that I think everybody is going, what's in here? Like, uh-huh. You're trying to look at everything and take it all in, because Disney Imagineers are really good at hiding stuff.
Yeah.
And making like little winks and nods. So I think a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to like locate unique things while you're in the lobby, especially.
Yeah. There's plenty of places to hide all of it.
So for those of you that haven't had the opportunity to go on the ride yet, obviously, we have more experience with the California version, but California is no longer the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Right. They've changed it to Guardian of the Galaxy Mission Breakout.
Right.
And I personally, like, in my opinion, think that that was a huge improvement in the park.
Why would you say that?
If for no other reason, because it's just a much more fun, upbeat, you know, very energetic part of the park now. Mm-hmm. It used to be pretty scary walking back there, and it got quiet and dark, and everybody had bad attitudes intentionally, like the Haunted Mansion. But now you go back there and Groot's dancing. And he's 17 feet up in the air, you know, singing ABC 1 2 3. It's fantastic. What's not to love?
Like, well, but that's the thing, is a lot of people enjoy the more macabre, the more melancholy type of flavor.
Disgusting.
That's why the Haunted Mansion is so popular.
Yeah, true.
Is that same kind of feeling that I think you get from the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Right. You
so
definitely get it.
With the one in Florida, though, it's slightly different. It was the first one, so they were
right.
Trying all sorts of weird things with it.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Which I think is fun. But if you haven't been on it, the concept is you're in an old Hollywood hotel. And during the, is it the 30s or the 40s? Five people got onto an elevator, and the tower was struck by lightning and pushed them through to another dimension.
Yeah.
And now you are going to get on a maintenance elevator on a night very much like the night that they disappeared.
Yeah.
And it's going to take you basically through the Twilight Zone.
Right.
The concept. Which is, it's a fun concept. Did you ever watch the Twilight Zone?
Not often. I knew that it was on late It was black and white from the 60s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's black and white. Yeah.
Because it's such an old kind of a show?
Well, and I honestly don't know.
If they just did it for effect or not. It's pretty cool, whichever it is.
But, yeah. And it's still, which I find really impressive, is it's still relevant in our society, which is interesting. Uh-huh. Because I remember being a kid and doing the Twilight Zone sound. You know, even though I never watched The Twilight Zone.
That is a good point. It is like that iconic, you know.
Who does that anymore?
It is the sound of suspense and fear and all things that...
Like something weird, something off-putting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's amazing to me how relevant it was, even in, 1994 when it originally opened.
Right.
How relevant it still was to popular culture. After so long.
And how cool is this? We've heard that they're bringing back the Twilight,
the Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm. And it's being directed by the Get Out director.
Jordan Peele.
Which we also have a connection with because, you know.
It will be interesting to see.
To see if it's going to, of course it's going to be good.
One could hope. The thing is the original draw to the Twilight Zone was that it wasn't just creepy weird things. It was a lot of social commentary and a lot of discussion of things in an unusual way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not just, ooh, there's going to be scary skeletons and ghosts in it. It's more along the lines of the only ones that I can remember is there was an episode where a man survives the apocalypse, and there's absolutely nobody around anymore, and he's so excited because he gets to read his books finally. Right? Beginning is him wanting to read and being interrupted by people and noise and whatnot. Then the apocalypse happens and there's nobody left but him, so he's so excited to get to read his books, and then he drops his glasses and breaks them. And he's so mad because there was time to read, but now he can't read the books because he doesn't have his glasses anymore.
Oh, that's so depressing.
Right. It's that kind of weirdness.
I mean, you could find a close enough prescription somewhere if you had all of Earth to go.
That's not the point.
You could find something close
enough. And this was back in the day when they didn't sell glasses in drugstores. This was prescription only.
That's a good kind point. Yeah.
But anyway, it's that weird kind of... irony kind of.
Now the Twilight Zone, it was hosted by a talking skeleton of sorts, right? A top hat or something. Is this not right?
No, that's Tales from the Crypt.
Ah, yes.
Which is totally different.
Completely different show.
No, Tales from the Crypt was the 80s.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, now that's what I remember.
You remember
whatever
that
is,
one.
That's what.
Okay. Yeah. No, Twilight Zone was hosted by Rod Sterling. However you say his last name. And what's really fun about that...
He's the one that freaks you out at the beginning of the ride.
He's the one that does the speech, yeah. And what's fun about that is that it's really him, video-wise. They took actual video of him. Fun fact, they had to digitally remove the cigarette from his hand. He was smoking originally. And so they went in and digitally took out the cigarette that he was smoking in the video.
That was going too far for Disney.
Yeah, everything that's
else
too
was,
much.
Everything else was fine.
Yeah, but I don't think you should smoke
you
anyway.
You can't blame him.
So,
yeah, it was a non-smoking zone.
It was a no-smoking zone. There are specified zones for that in Disney.
Tower of Terror is not one of them.
Tower of Terror is a non-smoking zone. And then they had someone obviously do the voice over because Rod Sterling never introduced the Tower of Terror.
Good point.
So, but what was fun about that too is that his family, I think it's his wife or daughter, okayed the voice after hearing the voice actor to double as her father or husband's voice.
Oh, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's important to get signed off on for Disney.
Right. Well, and you want to make it as authentic as possible.
Yeah, that's true.
But having never watched a whole lot of Twilight Zone, there were a lot of things in the lobby that people said were references to the show that I never understood. So maybe someone who enjoyed the show a lot more would notice things.
Those kinds of things.
Yeah, and find them interesting. But you weren't paying a whole lot of attention when we got into there anyway.
The first time I did.
Did you?
Enough. Sure.
for most of the time, you had your eyes closed.
Yeah.
During Tower of Terror. Like, I'm surprised you didn't, like, trip and fall down some stairs.
Well, that's the reason why is because the first time I went in, totally, it was absolutely fine. I was just like, oh, it's fun. It was a lot like Haunted Mansion, which doesn't scare me, right?
Right.
But then afterwards, I realized that it's not the 3-minute ride that's necessarily scary, or the 55 seconds of drops would be my guess, you know?
Sure.
That's not what really scares me. It's all of the lead up to it. It's all of the hour in line with them telling you that you're going to be pulled to your death. And here is the, you know, like all of that, that you're like, I really believe you, Disney. Yes. I think you are pulling me to my death or whatever it was. So
I got you.
They get me. They get me good on that one. But like, I just hate that feeling of just being, you know, that straight up and down feeling.
Oh, well, there's you no don't way. Like the drop rides.
No. Yeah. Do you remember that video we just saw this week of the balls, the bungee balls rides that you see everywhere that shoot you up in the street? And one of the bungee cords broke. And so it snapped into the side.
Yeah.
I tell you what, y'all. No way on earth will you ever get me on one of these rides now.
I wasn't
now,
planning on getting you on one of those rides
anyway. No, I'm telling everybody listening to this podcast now, whoever you are, not going on that ride. Absolutely not. Like, well, and you shouldn't do it either.
It's one of those, it's one of those rides, like the swing rides where they just have the two ropes connected to you.
Yeah.
Except it's the bungee cords connected to the ball that you sit in that shoots you up or whatever.
Yeah.
And those always irk me out a little bit, especially if they're in like a fair situation where you're not 100% sure of how, like,
who built it and how long it's been there.
Yeah, like bungee wears out. It happens, you know, so you don't know if in transportation it got too wet or too dry, or, you know, you have no idea what happened on that stuff.
Yep.
So the idea of doing it at a fair, absolutely not, Oprah.
So freaky.
Yeah. This is Twilight Zone Tower of Terror is definitely a lot more controlled than two bungee cords and a ball, though.
Right. And I try to remind myself that I'm not scared anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know. That little Asian man sure thought it was funny how scared you were that last time. Steve literally physically turned his body so he wasn't facing the screen. And the little Chinese man was laughing at you.
Yeah. And the one time we said, can we please not be on the front row? And then the doors opened and the cast member came out and looked at us and said, now what is this crazy request you have? To be on the back row, please. He didn't know what to do with us because, like,
because we're two adults and we have one that's terrified and wants to be on the back row.
Embarrassing. And who knows, he was probably just a character, but
I'm sure,
listen, everything freaks me out on that ride. Except for the hidden Mickey. We do have those one hidden Mickey in lights that I just love.
So I haven't looked to see if that's in Florida. Did we notice if it was there or not?
Probably isn't there. But what's crazy about the one in Florida also is that the walkways going up to and away, like, they're all put on like a 3 and 4 degree angle.
Yeah.
Intentionally so.
Yeah.
So that it puts you off kilter the entire time that you're walking up to the up to the ride.
You're just mad about all this. You're like,
I try not to be, like, and the one time I've only been on the one in Florida once, right? And I am sad that we now have to go on it again.
See, this is why,
but
it's nice when someone else goes with us, because then Steve doesn't have to ride it.
True.
He gets to sit out.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't mind riding it alone, honestly, but that's not nearly as fun.
Oh, and it's mean. Yeah, that's just, so for that I can handle the 3 minutes of terror.
We usually get you a good snack afterwards.
Yeah, that's, but the, I mean, the one in Florida is super cool because you do it. There's more multiple elements to the ride, right. So you're like, that's really impressive, and you can see that why they've spent so much money on it. So like the car, you want to tell us about the car when it exits the elevator?
Well, and here's another thing about it before we get there. You can enjoy the beginning of it because in Florida, you know that first lift and stuff is not a drop. It's literally just straight up and through.
Right.
So you don't have to be afraid of dropping until you get to the other side.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, the car itself, it's really impressive. So you get in and you sit down. You back away from the door that you just walked in from. It latches in and takes you up.
Mm-hmm.
You like see a little bit of
stories or something,
right? 13 technically. Is
that is how they do it. Is a, oh.
And dang, then Disney. They take you up and they show you a little movie thing, and then the car itself exits the elevator shaft and moves forward.
Doesn't it go through the movie that you just watched?
Yeah, like the doors so open good. And you go forward and there's windows of weird things on the sides.
That
and
part
whatnot.
Is so cool.
And we just found out that it's not just hooked onto a track. It's actually a trackless ride when you move through that top part.
And it's actually driving itself through
it's
that
driving
room.
Itself based on wires in the floor.
Oh, that's so great. And here I was all impressed by Luigi's dancing cars.
Right. And Disney's done trackless things, but I don't Since know if this might have been one of the first.
First one in 1994, it probably would have been the first one. And then they've almost downgraded the technology to do the simpler things.
Right.
Now.
Well, and honestly, the ride through the tower is pretty simple. You know, it's I want to say there's maybe a little bit of a curve to it.
There's it curves a
but
little bit.
But overall, it's mostly just a straight line. But still, it's so really impressive that the car itself acts independently of anything else to move you through that point.
Yeah, and then they've upgraded and changed the ride to that version 4 now, right? So when you get out into the elevator, when you get out into the shaft that goes that then goes out of control.
Which, by the way, has one of my favorite effects because you move towards it and there's like a screen.
Uh-huh.
And then the screen like turns off and turns into a straight line and then opens up so it looks like you're moving through to the next dimension.
That is incredibly cool.
It's so cool.
Yeah,
and then in Florida you get hit by the humidity.
And I swear you can see light coming through when you're out in that shaft too.
Sometimes.
So it's not, it doesn't feel
it might be funner to ride at night, but don't think I could get you on it at night.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But then, it moves you through to a second elevator shaft to do all of your drop sequences, which are randomized.
Yes.
So that you can never prep yourself saying, okay, I know I go up and down this many times.
Uh-huh.
It will take you all the way up and drop you all the way down, or it might take you halfway up, drop you, take you all the way up. You know, you have no idea the combination of lifts and drops that it's going to do. And Steve is turning green right now, like thinking about how terrified he is of this.
Yeah.
But literally, I think people go on it because they enjoy that unpredictability that Disney doesn't offer very often.
Right.
You know, you can go on every ride at Disney and we know every twist and turn on many of those rides.
Uh-huh.
Tower, you have an idea up to a point, and then you have no idea what the ride's going to do after that, which I find really exciting, personally.
It is a very fun element, and it is fun that they are building those into additional rides going forward. We think that they're doing that with Mickey's Runaway Train, I think.
Runaway Railway.
Like that, that. We think that those kinds of things, like they're able to change them out quicker and easier. Well, even with the new Tower of Terror over at the Galaxy or, you know, Mission Breakout.
Yeah.
Even that, they're able to change it for the nighttime show and a daytime show. Even.
Right.
So, it's pretty fun that they're definitely focusing on that kind of a thing. It's pretty great.
Well, speaking of that, do you think they're going to keep it as Tower of Terror? Or do you think that they're going to try to change Tower in Florida?
Right, so I personally think, like, I was going to say that I would give him a 10-year lifespan on the Tower of Terrors throughout the parks, being a IP that's associated with the Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I personally, if you were to ask me, I think that that's definitely going away. We already saw it go away very quickly in California Adventure, and that quickly is becoming the Marvel's Land over there with Bug's Life being ripped out.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that the complete overhaul of Hollywood, of that Hollywood park,
mm-hmm.
it's being completely overhauled. And now there's two rides that are now outside of Disney IP, which is the Tower of Terror and
the Rock and Roller Coaster.
So, and there's already another version of Rock and Roller Coaster, which has also been rethemed in one of the other parks overseas. Can't remember which one it is. So it could be, you know, they need a Marvel Land somewhere in Florida at some point in time. Even
Hollywood Studios would be the place for it, honestly.
Yeah.
They have all of their Star Wars stuff there, but I don't know if they could do that. Honestly, they may have to move their Marvel stuff to like Epcot or something, because you can't have Star Wars and Marvel in the same park, can you?
Oh, I think it would be an awesome idea. And there's a lot of pushback because Universal owns a lot of the rights that are east of the Mississippi right now.
Right.
Those contracts, you know, we'll see what happens with those over time.
Right.
And I don't know how long those contracts are even for, but I think that, you know, with those two juggernauts fighting with each other, They'll come up with some compromise that will work out Disney.
Well, exactly. Well, and Universal might get some money out of it too.
Yeah.
You know.
And all things that Universal does, they're fantastic in their own right. So
yeah. And it's definitely two very different schools of thought when it comes to the IPs and things too. So
between the two parks,
they're very different.
Yeah. So I would definitely think that that's going to be changed at some point in time, but it already feels like, one of the Tower of Terrors overseas, I think at Tokyo Seas, that one is already, it's still a Tower of Terror, but it's not Tower
Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm. It has a different theming behind it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could, that might go away. They might keep it as the Tower of Terror, but figure out another way to build in more of a Disney-esque vibe to it, so that they can continue to control that IP going forward.
But I doubt they'll make it less scary for you.
No, it's scary for life. That is definitely for sure. But we've talked about that, though, that we liked the old Disney that had all their IPs kind of in Fantasyland, mm-hmm. and everything else had its own concept, which have now spun off the movies. Mm-hmm. So it would be fun if they could do a different IP around Tower of Terror.
Sure.
And then turn that into a movie or something, right?
Well, and
because you know that's what they're going to do. They're going to definitely
capitalize. There are some rumors about more Tower of Terror movies and things, but
okay.
You never know when they might come out, honestly.
Yeah.
But it's like I always say, kids get too much candy on Halloween. Why don't you hand out ladles of cream of mushroom soup instead? Until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.